spring in Australia. It echoes to the sound of horses galloping, balls hitting bats, and beers being opened. But now, those alluring vibrations of golden memories will be replaced by a bunch of blokes ripping into sport life and all the good things. So get the snags ready, warm up the pool, and get your missus that spa treatment she's always wanted. Thanks to the gang at Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. Ryan Girdler, Julian Schiller, and Tony Squires are a few good sportsmen on Triple M.
Hope you're enjoying your Saturday afternoon, no matter where you are listening to us. Plenty to go in the 2 hours we have left to share. Next, we are going to speak with Craig Fitzgibbon from the Australian camp ahead of this Four Nations final, which should be a sensational game, Gerds. Looking forward to it immensely. You'll be calling that later on this evening. John Eales, ahead of Australia, taking on France in the second leg of their spring tour in Europe. We'll chat to him later this hour as well. Next hour, this is one to just clear it up, because we're going to speak to Simon Hill next hour, who's a terrific football caller from Fox Sports. He's going to clear something up for me, but I just want to get my head around it, because so far as I understand, there's a World Cup that's been given to Qatar. There's been an investigation about the process of awarding this World Cup, and the investigation has revealed that no corruption with the Qatari bid. Plenty of corruption with Australia. Is that where we are?
That's what we're hearing, yeah. Right, that report had about as much truth and credibility as my last tax return. Let me just say that. Great piece of creative writing. It's just, yeah, it is insulting to Australia and also England.
Yeah.
It's basically FIFA getting onto the front foot, because Australia and England have been most vocal in opposition to the awarding of the Russian and Qatari World Cup. So I reckon it's just a shot over the bows. It's a cheap shot. But we'll talk to Simon about this. My favourite thing, the Russian bid lost their computers. Just... Right. They lost them. But they're still fine.
Yeah, right. Okay.
And the whistleblower who came out and gave evidence against Australia and England actually has absolutely no credibility at all.
Yeah, said wasn't a reliable witness. No. So, yeah, it's just a mess.
We'll dig to the bottom of that with Simon Hill later in the show. But next, Craig Fitzgibbons on A Few Good Sportsmen. This is A Few Good Sportsmen on Triple M. Doing it for Bryden's Lawyers. It's a great pleasure now to welcome to the show Australia's assistant coach, Craig Fitzgibbon. G'day, mate.
Okay, guys, how are you?
Very well, thank you. How's beautiful Wellington? Just a nice gentle zephyr of breezes there, lovely and warm.
Yeah, it's windy.
That's a heatwave.
It's actually it's a pretty city right on the water, and thankfully the weather's not been too bad. Slightly gale force this morning, but backing off nicely for the game tonight.
The boys must be excited about this. I mean, this is a tournament that, you know, obviously for Australia, a lot of guys were unavailable. There was talk about, you know, the timing of it, yet it's been exciting. The brand of football has been sensational to watch. Now you're playing the team that rolled you in the first game of the series, who are terrific. You've played yourself into some form. Are they excited about what's happening this evening?
Yeah, they are. I suppose, to start the tournament, they all hear the things that are being said, and it was sort of written off a little bit, but I think the standard of footy's caught everyone on the hop, and it's been really really pleasing to watch the quality of footy getting played. And, you know, for these guys that have a lot of them come in off the back of guys pulling out, well, I'm sure they see it as a real opportunity to do something special, and particularly after the way we performed in the opener night, and then improved a lot against England in what was a high-quality game, and then stepped it up again against Samoa. They're raring to go tonight.
Yeah, it's been a good journey for some of these guys, Fitzy, hasn't it? We all know in your first test it can be a real eye-opener for you, and these guys really sort of got ambushed, didn't they? And unfortunately, in that first contest, our forwards probably didn't do what we needed them to do, and some of those backs, Mack and Davout, must have thought, what am I in for? But over the last couple of weeks, as you said, really developed, and now these guys go in with a couple of tests under their belts and come up against a New Zealand side who they're going to know what to expect, and I'm sure the forwards, the guys that you probably have a fair bit to do with there, Fitzy, are going to be ready for tonight.
That's right, Gerds. I think it was a real lesson in test match intensity on that opening night. I think you can sometimes be guilty. You come into camp and look around you and see some quality players and just assume everything will be all right. And, it's too late to fix that sort of stuff up on the field. New Zealand really handed it to us there. So, they regrouped, and the forwards, as you know, are a proud bunch. They know that, the other guys out there, the backs outside, will put the icing on the cake. But you're right, mate. If they don't lay the platform and they don't get stuck in and and arrest the speed of the game in there, you're in trouble.
Yeah, it's the cake and the cream there, Tone. Oh, I'll tell you about the cake and the cream. Fitzy was all cake. He was all cake, Fitzy.
Well, you were the cream. Hey, Fitzy, there's been a bit of a stomach bug going through the team, and I read David Clemmer has dropped 5 kilos in 24 hours. How's that been going?
Yeah, that's right. Knocked a few around at the start of the week, and it was a bit of a disruption there. We had a few blokes in and out, and it was we couldn't get the week as planned. But we just changed the schedule a little bit to accommodate those guys. And by the back end of the week, we got them all on the training paddock and all back to almost to pretty much 100% ready to go tonight. So yeah, it was not ideal, but in saying that, it wouldn't be enough to use as an excuse tonight. They're raring to go.
I'd like to lose 5 kilos before I go on TV on Tuesday night. Yeah, so if you could send us the exact what they were eating, everything, any details at all would really help in that regard.
I'll bring back a nice bacterial infection.
Exactly. Just get a stool sample and we'll be fine.
you're on a classy show, Fitzy. We talked about the forwards, mate. What about the backs? I mean, Greg Inglis, there's all the talk about, as it always should be, about just what level of footballer this man is. He's extraordinary. His try-scoring record is sensational. He's overtaking everybody, and he is a key component of what happens this evening.
Yeah, he is. He certainly consumes some energy from the opposition. I can imagine from working against him at club level, let alone rep level, how much video analysis and tracking his game and trying to minimise his impact on the game. And even though you know it's coming, it's still another thing to be able to stop him. He's a beast of a man now, 6'4" and over 100 kilos. And, thankfully he's playing for us, and in his comfortable role there at fullback, he's been outstanding for us and a real go-to player. And he's, he's the one that all the other backs and all the other young forwards as well, they all look up to him. He's got a real authoritative figure around camp.
Fitzy, I read an article this morning that the Kangaroos have gone all technical in this latest campaign. They're using iPads and breaking down the game in certain ways. How's that affected the group? And how's Tim Sheens, who's obviously come through all different sort of eras in rugby league, especially in coaching, how's he handled the change to the technology side of things?
Yeah, it was quite handy, I suppose. As you know, you have your playbook or all your different plays and shapes and structures that you hand down in hard copy, and just the movement into the iPad system where we're downloading footage and we're actually running the plays on the field and filming it and sending it out to the players. So it's a visual playbook, mate, and it's just a really good way to reinforce all the plays and the shapes and structures that Tim wanted to implement. And I think it's been pretty handy to get the boys up to speed with all playing the same way. We haven't got a very, very long time to get that right.
Have you caught anyone just sitting up the back playing Donkey Kong? Any of the training sessions?
I'm pretty sure that they wired it specifically so it's only rugby league can work on the iPad.
No Angry Birds. That's unbelievable.
Is there any... Speaking of technology, I mean, you've got guys there like Sione Matauti. How old is he? 18 or 12 or something? Then you've got Cam Smith, who's just, 45 or something. When the music... the music on the bus, is there any kind of angst about what you're listening to all at the same time?
A bit of BG split with some Usher back end.
BG's to Usher.
It's been pretty quiet on the bus so far. Most of them really got either the headphones on or because they're on the iPhones, mate. On the games on the iPhones because the iPads don't work, remember?
Yeah, right. I'm not keeping up. Mate, all the best for this evening. It should be a terrific game of football. Good luck with it. And thanks so much for joining us on the show. It's been great to talk to you.
Yep, no worries. Thanks, guys.
Good luck.
Here's your Australian assistant coach, Craig Fitzgibbon, joining us here on A Few Good Sportsmen on Triple M. A bit of room to breathe there on A Few Good Sportsmen on Triple M. It's just a Saturday afternoon talking sport and anything else that pops into our head. And we're doing it for Bryden's Lawyers. Julian Schiller, of course, has rejoined us after a couple of weeks away. And I forgot to mention from the off how good you're looking.
I am, yeah.
Yeah, and part of that, I think, may be what's going on with the hair.
Yeah, I've had a haircut. Tried a new hairdresser.
Is that the fade?
Well, I don't know what style it is.
I don't either.
I don't know if there is a style, but I decided to try a new hairdresser. So I just went around the corner because I've been driving to the, and I can't be bothered driving to a hairdresser. So I thought I'd just walk around. So I get in there and there's a couple of women. They're, probably one 35, the other was sort of early 40s. You know, they seemed professional. They'd obviously cut hair for a while, so I felt in good hands. Oh. Anyway, so I sit in the chair, and the woman said, you know, we have a little ritual before we do every haircut.
Oh, I might be going to this hairdresser, Jules. No, where's this
at? Well, she said we read everyone's chakras. So
they read everyone's chakras.
Yeah, which is like a new age thing.
What is a chakra, mate? What is it, a chakra?
I don't know, but
chakra.
What she did is she got like this tray of smelling salts or things that smelt in different ways. Like one was called expression, one was called hope, one was called faith, one was called love and all this stuff. And she said, pick out four bottles.
What?
Yeah, pick out four bottles. So I don't know what I picked, expression, hope, whatever, just random four bottles. Then she blindfolded me.
No.
So I'm at a hairdresser getting blindfolded.
No
risky.
This is
very risky. Risky while they're cutting
your hair. Yeah, I don't know what was going to happen. And then she said, now, while blindfolded, you've got to smell all these different vials of oils, and you've got to pick out the one you like the most, and from there I'll be able to tell your future.
So your chakra, that's your kind of cosmic energy of some sort, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. Mm. So I'm in there.
Your cosmic energy.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you mean? Just because I know stuff, don't look at me like that. Look at him. It's his story.
Cosmic energy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So basically, I'm blindfolded in the hairdressing chair and just putting all these...
Why haven't you already left by this stage? No,
well, because I didn't have anything to do. I've got a lot of time on my hands. So I'm smelling these things and I go, number three. And she said, oh, you know, you pick expression. So obviously you work in maybe sales, or you work in a job where you have to speak or present yourselves. And I'm like, wow, this is creepy.
No, this is good.
And, you know, she said, I'm going to predict your future now. And I said, it's not going into counselling straight after the set. It's not some sort of litigation. And, you know, it's the normal thing, like, you know, you're going to have a great end of the year and, you know, just the normal kind of stuff like that.
But you're going to have a very good haircut.
Yeah, you have a very good haircut. But this took about 35 minutes. So, I mean, there were 35 minutes, not one snippage, not one bit of snippage.
But at this point, were you really looking forward to her getting a sharp implement in her hands or not?
I didn't know what was going to happen, when I was going to get rebirthed next, you know, put into a fake womb and come out. Or there were incense going all around at the time as well, so just burning incense.
That is extraordinary. But you shouldn't get your hair cut at Paddington Market. Not the way to go.
But then she gave, you know, when they wash the hair, and, you know, because I think the best part of the haircut is the scalp massage. Yeah. You know, it's just, it's sort of slightly sexual in a sort of way, in that, you know, your whole body starts to tingle. And she gave me a fantastic scalp massage. Like, it went for ages. So I'm just going to go back there on the basis alone. I'll happily sit through the chakras.
Because I've got to say, that all sounds good, but the haircut's crappy.
A few good sportsmen. Living in, that is the prisoner of society. This is A Few Good Sportsmen on Triple M. Thanks to Bryden's lawyers, Ryan Girdler, Julian Schiller, Tony Squires with you. The Wallabies take on France. It stayed France overnight. I think it's 7 o'clock tomorrow morning, Jules. Mm. You'll be up and ready to go?
No.
Why do you...
I'll tape it. I'll watch it.
How can
he's
you
had a tough week, Tony. He's been
AM.
At the G20 up
I've
there
been
on
the
a
G20.
Junket.
That's a massive party. Huge.
Exactly. A man who, of course, will be watching it. He is a legend of Australian rugby. The greatest skipper we have had. Of course, you can hear and see him on Fox Sports. John Eales, g'day, mate.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Very, very well, thank you. The French. Now, this should be a terrific game of footy, shouldn't it? I mean, we're talking about the win against Wales. It was Michael Checker's first, so he's on a roll of one in Test.
But they beat the Barbarians.
Not a Test match.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, still two in a row.
It's 2-1.
We're counting that? Okay.
Yeah, you got to give him that one.
What do you think? I mean, they're in pretty good form, the French.
Yeah, look, they are. They're always hard to play, and particularly they're very hard to play in France.
Yep.
And I heard you complaining about 7 a.m. Believe me, 7 a.m. is gentle compared to what the next 2 weeks will be, 1:30 a.m. Or something.
That's
12:30 or 1:30 or something.
He can stay up till then,
fine for me. I'm just kicking off.
Yeah. Look, it's the French. The thing about them is, you know, when they play at home, they really are very passionate. The crowds are very passionate. But they also, they'll get down and get dirty in the dark arts of the forwards, I think, tomorrow.
Dark arts.
They're a team like that, aren't they? Their game plan consists mainly of stealing players' wives, just having a, giving them a call straight after the game. I'm only joking.
It might be French rugby league.
But, I mean, there's been talk that we'll go through this, you know, spring tour undefeated. John, do you think that's a little bit premature? Do you think we are getting a little overconfident?
I just don't think we can even worry about that sort of stuff. I really think, and actually Michael Checker said himself, he said, everyone's talking about streaks. I read him in the paper this morning. Everyone's talking about streaks. He said, I'm only interested in the next game. Mm-hmm. And I think that is the right attitude, because you don't know. If you can talk about a streak and you come up against a team who have played completely out of their skins, and you've played well, and you might lose. I think you've got to really be measured enough to judge yourself on how you're playing and the advancements you're making. And Michael's got a tough job just stepping in, taking control, trying to impose the way he does things, and trying to do that very quickly. Now, there's going to be some errors along the way because people have to adjust to things. There's a lot of people in the team that are comfortable with him because they've worked with him for a couple of years now with the Waratahs, but there's a lot who haven't, and adjusting to that new level is going to be different.
John, from the outside looking in, he does seem like he's willing to make the tough calls, and he's made another one going into this test after beating Wales. He's brought Horwell back in for Carter. Now, is that due to injury, or is that because he sees James is still having something to offer the Australian side?
Well, I heard that Carter had a bit of a knock, but I think at this stage he's going to be keen to see who can most quickly adapt to his game plan and who can get out there and get it done week in, week out. And he's a guy, one of the things I think I've heard a few people say that I have really liked about him as well is he gets out there, you see him at training, he throws himself in, he roughs it about at training as well. That's, when a coach is prepared to do that, and you've also got Nathan Gray, the defensive coach, who does exactly the same, throws himself into the session. And I think that does make a big difference with guys. And what it does is it shows them he's committed, and it shows what he expects of them.
It's a good time for them, I guess, the new coach. It's good for that group to get together and that bonding that naturally happens. I spoke to you yesterday, of course. It was the anniversary of the 1984, the Grand Slam Wallabies. Now, Tom Lawton, sat next to you. They got paid $2,000 for the 13. That was how much they got paid for the 10, 11 weeks or whatever it was. And he lost all of it in a card game in the plane on the way to another player. But he talked about that time being together. For Michael Checker, has been great timing to take over and then head over there and be able to be with this group for day and night?
It's much better for him to do that now than to take over after Super Rugby next year and have four tests before the World Cup. Just that familiarity, even though it's not a lot of time, it's that familiarity. Like, they'll spend 5-6 weeks together now, and that's really, really useful, because in that time he is going to have a really good read on every single player that's going on that tour. He's going to know them. He's going to know what their tendency is when he asks tough questions of them. He's going to know how they respond in a game when it's a tough game. And that was one of the things I enjoyed about last weekend's game. It was clearly a tough game. Wales at home, Wales anywhere, is a tough game. But when Wales got the lead after getting a pushover try with about, 8 or 10 minutes to go, the Wallabies didn't panic. They got down the other end, and it's not in their DNA, but Bernard Foley kicked a field goal and put us back in the lead. Then we got another penalty after that to take the lead a bit further. So it just showed a maturity in the way they're playing, and that's what he'll want to see. As he goes through this tour, the people who are stepping up when the pressure is put on them.
All right, well, the pressure we put on by the French tomorrow morning. Of course, you can see it live on Fox Sports. The French playing that particular brand of football of kicking, scratching, biting and going... John Eales, thanks so much for being part of the show.
Thanks, guys.
There he goes. John Eales, Australia's most successful Wallaby captain, right here on A Few Good Sportsmen. Bon Jovi, Living on a Prayer.
Oh, yeah, Tone. I can just see you in those ripped jeans back in the 80s, just going nuts to that.
Did you wear ripped jeans?
Yeah, of course denim? He did. He still does.
Acid wash?
Well, why does it suddenly get Tony?
Because you're the old guy in here. That's why.
No, fair enough. No, I actually saw Bon Jovi just a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
second row. Right. And it was only because my wife, who's 18 years younger than me, she loves Bon Jovi.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's not as much as Michael Slater, who was standing in front of us. and jumping up and down trying to get on stage.
Okay.
He's absolute nuts.
Yeah, but I'm just talking about the 80s tone, you know, what you're getting up to back in the 80s. And I can just imagine you front and centre
of Bon Jovi. Well, I was getting married in 1984, having children, basically.
Were you?
What were you doing in the 80s?
I was at school in the 80s.
Really?
Yeah, well, I was physically at school
in the
80s.
Frankie Goes to Hollywood?
Like that. Who was I listening to in the
Wham?
80s?
No.
Huey Lewis and the News. What happened to the News after Huey? Because Huey Lewis did okay.
What about Boom Crash Opera? I was listening to those guys.
Ah, right.
1927?
All right. Anyway. I could get my wife, my beautiful wife, Kate Melanie Pascoe Squires, I could get her a Bon Jovi album compilation for Christmas. Have you done your Christmas shopping yet? This is by way of getting towards the topic. Have you done yours yet, Gerds?
No.
Have you done yours and Jules?
No, okay. I haven't even considered it.
Many people have, because I read this morning. Men are the kings of speedy Christmas shopping, I'm quoting now. A survey, somebody from the Ponds Institute in a lab coat has been paid a lot of money to do this survey.
That was from the G20 communicators. That's right. The world leaders discussed it.
Mm-hmm. They're the kings of Christmas shopping, speedy Christmas shopping. A survey showing nearly two-thirds of adult males can manage to buy all their festive season gifts in under 3 hours.
I'd say that's more than I would have expected.
More?
Well, unless it's door to door. 3 hours in a shopping centre is a long time. Mm. But if you're finding a park and, you know, driving in and out in 3 hours.
Are you taking any care with the shopping? Are you thinking, this is all your shopping, not just for one person. This is your entire Christmas shopping.
All of it. But, you know, you can do it all on the $2 shop. So,
I think 3 hours is a long time too, Tony, because if you're organised, see, after I've been prompted today, I can go home tomorrow and I can organise all my Christmas shopping in my head and know what I'm going to get. And then I can go to the store and I can bang it out in an hour if I know what I'm going to get.
Yeah,
or do you wait? Are you that thoughtless that you get there and buy something just because it looks good on the shelf without thinking about what you're going to buy someone, what that actually
want. Thoughtless because I'm saying you need more than 3 hours to shop.
No,
suddenly I'm thoughtless.
Men are hunters. In our DNA, we have a target. We go out to hunt mammoths, so we have a target in mind, and we just go out, we get the targets, and we get out of there. We're not gatherers.
I'm a grazer.
You're crazy.
Love to graze.
You go around smelling the perfume.
I do. Yeah. I just lob at the
so you
doors
go
open
out without any idea,
no
and then
idea.
You buy what
no
you
idea.
Think at that time.
I can
that's
go
so inconsiderate.
Quite literally, it's not inconsiderate. I can go.
That's unbelievably inconsiderate.
3 half-day visits to the shopping centre and come home empty-handed each day.
Don't you get? Doesn't Kate give you?
There's no way.
Don't you get little hints? Like, surely you're getting the hints now from, you know, Kate. She's sort of saying, that'd be good and that looks nice. You
don't
get the hint.
To the hint.
There you go.
Oh, you've got to listen to the
independent,
hint, don't you?
No. Independent thinker.
Well, you go for the surprise gift.
Like Bozza, who just gives cash.
You've been told of, you go for the surprise gift that you've been told about for the last 2 months leading up to Christmas.
Oh, I like this moisturiser or, I want this dress.
Are you, are you going to the shops, though? You're not going to go online or anything?
Go to a shopping centre with all the different types of shops there, so. Bang,
okay.
Toys for the nephews and nieces. Something for the dad. Always wine for dad.
Mm-hmm.
He's a pisshead. No, he's not.
All right, so you can do it in under 3 hours.
I can do it in 90 minutes.
90 minutes? Yeah, 90 minutes. Okay, Kurtz, how long can you do it in?
Oh, all up, it's probably about a 3 week process for me, Tone.
3 weeks?
Yeah, I've got to have a think about it. I've got to think about all the tips that have been dropped. Then I've got to think about the kids. And I love Christmas. It'll take me a couple of weeks to get it all together.
A couple of weeks. That's pathetic. All right. Who out there, how quickly do you get your Christmas shopping done? Well, look, this is a survey about men, but I guess women can play as well. 1-333-53. Give us a call. How cruelly efficient are you in your Christmas shopping? Well, that's just offensive. We know a lot about Christmas shopping, though. Some of us, including Julian Schiller, says he can do it under 3 hours. Wondering what your record is. Mick has called 1-333-53. G'day, mate.
G'day, mate. How you going?
Yeah, good. What do you do your Christmas shopping in? How much?
Mate, 3 hours is a snail's pace. I can bang it out in 30 seconds.
What? What's your system?
My system is 30 seconds to get to the ATM, organise $100, everybody I'm buying a present for, and it's done.
Well, $100 each or $100 divided
up? No, $100 each. You can't be too cheap. I mean, it's only cash.
So you're just giving them cash in an envelope?
Cash in a card.
Cash in a card, cash in an envelope, cash in a handshake and a smile. Yeah. Everybody loves cash.
But are you from
the G20.
You're coming
point.
To my...
you should work for FIFA.
Yeah. Yeah. Come to my wedding, Mick.
I know, you're invited to mine next Christmas. That's great.
All right, I like the cut of Mick's jib. Okay, Francesca, g'day.
Hi, how you going?
Very well. How long does it take you?
Well, it'll take me under 3 hours, providing I've got a lift.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
my
that's
partner,
right.
Yeah. My partner will take him weeks.
How
product cost analysis and yeah.
So you go with a list. So how long does it take you to put a good list together?
Oh, not long. I'll just be thinking about it and just write something down.
Okay.
But I won't go to the shops without the list.
No, that's right, Tone.
But Francesca, you've got to have some admiration for your partner. What do you mean he's taking care?
Oh, sounds like a nerd.
Drives me absolutely nuts. I can't do it.
When you say, does he like to be sort of, thrifty? Is that why he does a price analysis stuff? He doesn't want to be ripped
French,
off?
You sound like a lovely girl. You got to move on and leave this guy. I mean, cost analysis on Christmas presents. Yeah. What sort of bar humbug is this guy?
Wow. You've teed off on him.
Yeah. I don't like people that get stingy at Christmas time, Tone.
She didn't say
you
he was stingy.
She inferred that he was, worried about cost analysis at Christmas time.
This isn't an episode of A Christmas Carol here. All right, John, g'day.
How you doing?
Very well. How long does it take you, John?
17 for 11 people.
Sorry, you have to say that again. 17 minutes for 11 people.
Sounds like a good party.
From entering the shopping centre to leaving, including getting the presents wrapped.
That is awesome, John. Are you doing it all in one shop then, or are you...
No, you've got to choose 3 or 4 shops that are actually close to each other in the shopping centre.
Okay. Yeah, you don't want to get on an escalator on Christmas shopping. That's another level.
You just walked in and gone, I'll have that, and that wrap it, I'll be back in 2, that. So that's all you do. You don't even care.
Exactly, and you need 3 or 4 charity wrappers on standby. You can't use one, otherwise you won't get it in under 17.
Okay, but...
Are you timing yourself? It's great.
Every year, John's trying to break his previous personal best. I love it. There you go. There's the record. 17 minutes for 11 people. This is A Few Good Sportsmen. Mitch Marsh joins us next. It's A Few Good Sportsmen on Triple M. Tony Squires, Ryan Girdler, Julian Schiller with you. Now we have a very good sportsman. In fact, a young genius. His name is Mitchell Marsh. He joins us right now. G'day, mate.
G'day, guys. Thanks for having me.
Well done. Congratulations. A good start to the one-day series against South Africa in a beautiful bouncy Perth wicket. Must feel good to have a win, despite the fact you've got a captain limping around.
Yeah, look, it's always nice to start off a series with a win like that. So the boys are pretty pumped, and obviously we've got another game tomorrow, so we're very excited for that.
And how is the skipper? How's he pulled up? He's getting scans today on the hamstring?
Yeah, look, I haven't seen the skipper this morning, but it's obviously very disappointing for him. Hopefully we can get him back and fit playing for Australia as soon as we can.
And more importantly, how did he take the wicket by staying yesterday? Obviously, there's a little bit of banter been happening between the two camps over that relationship. How was Clarkie after that one?
Yeah, look, I think he was all right. I think, obviously, you play the game, you're going to get out to someone, so it just happened to be Dale staying yesterday. But, obviously, he came off and he was obviously shattered about his hamstring, so I don't think he would have worried too much about that dismissal.
Mitchell, do you know what's going on with the test team? Obviously, you're in the mix. We're going to play India very, very soon. Have you heard anything about that?
No, I haven't heard anything about it at this stage. Obviously, we've still got a fair bit of cricket to play for that first test in a couple of weeks. So, I'm very excited about if that opportunity comes. But for me, it's just about focusing on this one-day series and hopefully keep winning games for Australia.
I've already told the selectors, Shane Watson can come in at 3. Mitchell Marsh is still there. No doubt about it, as the premier all-rounder. Mate, playing in the United Arab Emirates, basically, 4,000 degrees temperature and 12 people. It must have been, apart from the results, was it a difficult, even though you're making your test debut, so you're incredibly excited, tough time though?
It was. It was certainly a tough initiation. I think, a few of the boys mentioned that it was a bit weird playing in front of only 20 people, and about 15 of them were masters in the first test, so that was certainly a bit different. But for me, it was an unbelievable experience, and to get that baggy green off my dad, that's something I'll never forget. So hopefully, if I get a chance this summer, I can play in a winning test for Australia.
That must be also comforting to know you've got the best cricketer in the world alongside you, with Mitchell Johnson being named having that tag at the moment.
Yeah, look, what a 12 months he's had. He's obviously, he's one of the great blokes, and obviously he's, the best fast bowler in the world and the best cricketer in the world at the moment. So he's so great to have around this squad. And for me, he's, he helps me out with my bowling all the time. So I love having him around the squad, and I just love playing with him.
You know, your old man Swampy, he must be a very proud man. He handed you the baggy green. Of course, Sean has already played for Australia. Your dad played for Australia. Your sister's very good netballer. I think she's represented at state level. It's a pretty good sporting family.
Yeah, it is. It's obviously, it's pretty special to have all, to have everyone doing what they've done. Look, it's nice. I think, Dad and Mum have both been great supporters of all three children. So it's great.
How competitive were your games of backyard cricket around Christmas time when you all meet up?
Yeah, well, they really weren't too competitive. Sean's got 8 years on me, so a lot of the time it was he'd bat until he'd had enough and that was game over. So I don't really know how I became a batsman at all.
Well, mate, you hit the ball beautifully. Very exciting for Australian cricket. I'm sure you will be there come the first test. Thanks so much for having a chat with us and all the best with this summer.
Cheers, guys.
There he is. Mitchell Marsh, who is a terrific prospect for Australian cricket and a good bloke. What a family, eh? That's amazing.
Pretty talented.
Smart asses.
Never liked them. This is If You're a Good Sportsman on Triple M.